welcome Marks, Marks, and everybody in between to a very special, I guess amazingly average show this week. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hello!
And Kyle.
Hola!
So, we are here to talk about, I guess, the road to WrestleMania. This first stop is the Royal Rumble. We're here to talk about the Royal Rumble, its results, its fallout, and kind of where the WrestleMania card looks like, I guess, 2 months out. Actually, 2 months out from today. We're recording this on February 5th, so that's exactly 2 months from WrestleMania 33?
Yep. Yeah, I know Vince doesn't want us to number him anymore.
Yeah, some of his hang-ups are so weird.
Is that a thing now?
Well, I think it's a thing that he'll go back and forth on, because, like, for example, they tried to do away with it after 30, but I think 32 was numbered. And
No, on the branding it wasn't.
Which one was WrestleMania 31 was WrestleMania Pay, right? That was the one that the Pay said move. And then what was last year's?
I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure
WrestleMania Star. Yeah, because it's not a new thing, because he also did it at WrestleMania 29, where it was like WrestleMania New York, New Jersey, and stuff like that. But then with 30, he went back to the Triple X. But it's something that they've gone back and forth on, because even if you go back, like WrestleMania 2000, for instance, was one where they didn't, you know, they put that over 16. Then they tried X8 and X7 instead of calling it 17 and 18. And it's the weirdest thing because, like I said, today's February 5th, and we're recording this before the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is up to, like, 50-something, and they still number it, and it makes it more special. But his hang-up with numbering things, his hang-up with numbering and his hang-up with juniors are two of his weirdest things to me.
It's just a phrase as well. He doesn't like it to be called the granddaddy of them all either. As well, so it's like, just doesn't like it feeling old, even though, right, it's old, and that's part of the selling point of it.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, how long good that is.
Keep doing
old.
It. Things don't last 30 years. Some things lasted 33 years. That's impressive.
Yeah.
What it suggests is that it's an institution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he apparently doesn't want that.
But at the same time, they don't mind it if it's something big, like this Royal Rumble, getting back on topic, was the 30th annual Royal Rumble, and they drove that home week after week after week. So, like, at some point, he understands it. He just doesn't like it. He always wants to feel fresh and modern, but there's nothing wrong with having something. Like, this is the staple of your entire industry.
I think the main difference is that Royal Rumble has never been marketed.
As the number,
it's only WrestleMania it's ever been numbered, so that's his hang up about it. Let's just leave it so none of them are numbered unless it's a big anniversary.
Yeah, oh, that reminds me of the other thing he tried to do, and nobody calls it this, but remember back in like the late 90s when the WrestleManias were subtitled? WrestleMania 14 was X rated or DX rated, and WrestleMania 15 was the Raging Climax.
So, really? I honestly don't remember any of that.
Oh yeah, WrestleMania 13 was Heat. Like these, like nobody calls it that, but they were marketed as like DX rated. Like you'd see the logo and like underneath it's like WrestleMania 14 DX rated, and WrestleMania 15 was the Raging Climax. So yeah, it's...
well, that probably was
WrestleMania 20 when... where it all begins again.
Well, that
was probably when all the bullshit WCW names were also going.
Oh yeah, I mean. But yeah, he has those two hang-ups. But anyhow, on to the Royal Rumble,
Is by the way the 30th anniversary why they had this Remember the Rumble headline?
Well, they had to remember the Rumble because they were in Texas.
I guess.
And that's remember, and they were the Alamo, which is Remember the Alamo. So there was a pay-up on that. But yeah, it was also, and just so you know, because there were some people, it's the 30th annual, it's not the 30th anniversary. Next year is the 30th anniversary. This is the 30th annual. It's semantics, but you know, because like technically the 30th year is next year, that would be the 30th anniversary. This is the 30th event, but that's not. Yeah, it's whatever. But they fixed that up at the pay per view where they started calling it the 30th annual Royal Rumble.
I know, whenever they talked about that stuff, I think I mentally checked out anyway, so...
Oh, yeah, because like I said, they drive it home so much after a while it becomes grating, and they started to do this... I mean, it's always been the way, but I feel like it's more recently. Like, most of the theme songs for their pay-per-views just get on my nerves by the end of it, because you see it in all the promo packages, you see it in all the commercials, you see it in all the advertisements, and then you get to the pay-per-view and it's everywhere, so... Mm.
I actually had to mentally check out a lot, mostly because of commentary, but I don't know when we will talk about that.
Well, we could talk about that real quick, because I think Colin and I have had this discussion before. Like, one, I don't know what the other field with a three-man booth is. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, multiple times I asked myself during this event, like, well, first of all, I had a couple of things. Like, I don't think the Corey Graves-Michael Cole combination works well. I thought, like, with who's the SmackDown guy again?
Morrow and Nia.
Right, with Morrow, it works way better, I thought. Morrow is, in general, way better than Mike Cole.
I actually think that Morrow and Graves and JBL and Cole work better because they have very similar styles to play off of each other, where Corey, he's a heel commentator, but he can get easily excited, and I don't think Cole has that energy to match him. And then Byron Saxton's just there to be beat up on. Like, both.
That was the other thing for me. Like, I didn't know why Byron Saxton was there. I barely even noticed him. And I also had no idea why Austin Aries was there at some point.
That's for the 205 Live. Yeah. He does 205 cruiserweight commentary, basically.
Yeah, but I think he said, like, two sentences during the entire match.
I mean, he can do commentary, but it's like, why? He's already CM Punk light anyway, so...
That goes into the whole thing about why... Like, the whole brand and the Cruiserweights, that's something different, so they get their own commentary, they get their own ring ropes, they get their own set. It's really stupid, but... Like,
well, the experience sure was different, but I guess I will talk about that when we get to that match.
but then you have SmackDown, which has a four-man booth. And I swear.
What? For real?
Yeah, I swear.
Wait,
never speaks.
Was that why one of the matches had four people on?
Yeah. It's JBL, it's Morrow, it's Otunga, and it's Tom Phillips. And
the thing is about it, there is no such, there has never been a good three-man commentary team. There's never been a good three-man. There's two, good two-man. There's never been a good three-man commentary team. But they went, oh, you know what? We know how to solve this. Let's put four. But why?
And when is anyone supposed to talk?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, I watch SmackDown, I watch the pay-per-view, and I'm pretty sure that Tom Phillips never speaks throughout a match. Like, ever. The only thing Tom does is, like, in between matches, he'll sometimes promote stuff that's coming up. But I never hear him do commentary. So I wonder if he's out there as the guy who has to, like, get the marketing speak out there and nothing else. And I honestly don't know why David Otunga does commentary. I don't know where that came from. Like, I don't know if he didn't do it in NXT. So I don't know if he did it on, like, Superstars or main event.
Yeah, he did. He did, like, one or two on one of those shows. And then he went, oh, okay, we've got the branding section now. Let's bring Otunga up. Yeah. So thanks for doing the black people a good service. We just don't have any good commentators.
Honestly, I honestly thought that's what it was. It's like, we need to add a bit of color to the commentary booth. Because Byron does nothing on Raw. Otunga does nothing on SmackDown.
Booker did nothing.
Oh, I mean, Booker did stuff. Booker just made no sense.
True.
Shucky, quack, quack. Booker's fave five. Here we go. And then they added the new guy to NXT, Saxton.
Oh, Percy Watson.
Yes, Percy Watson. And as far as I can tell, he adds nothing either.
But was he on TakeOver or something? Because if he was, I haven't noticed him.
That's the thing with him. He doesn't say anything, and then when he does speak, it sounds like he's been put in afterwards. It doesn't sound like he's actually there whenever you hear him on commentary. Feels like they went, okay, he didn't speak in it, he didn't say anything. Okay, let's just cut some in so that people remember that he's there. Is that great? Nice one.
And maybe they just have an overabundance of commentators, because even after the four-man SmackDown group and the three-man Raw group and Austin Aries coming out for the Cruiserweight, they still had a new, like, they brought the King out for the Royal Rumble, and I'm just like, why?
I asked myself the same thing.
Why was it a whole Raw announced team?
Oh, yeah, honestly, I don't even know how they threw out the SmackDown people, because they called one match. Like, sure, match of the night, but they called, like, one match the entire night. Like, I forgot.
It's kind of like when Joey Styles was there, and then they were like, nah, screw it. We're not going to let him call WrestleMania. It's like, we'll bring JR back for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've done stupid stuff like that before. It's just so weird, but, I mean, I think they need to mix up the combinations, and they need to get rid of, like, 50 people at the announce booth, because... Jumping ahead a bit to SmackDown this week. The end of SmackDown, I think, was the four people on commentary, Maurice, The Miz, and Baron Corbin. So it's like seven people sitting around the table, which does not fit.
What?
Yeah. I mean, Maurice was the new in commentary, but there were seven people sitting at the announce table. And
I think my favorite part about the start of that four-man team was that I haven't watched SmackDown in a while, and I don't know if they've extended the table, but it was just like, oh, and here's Tom Phillips, and there he is on the edge, because there's no room for him. There's no room for three.
It's still pretty much that. Again, because I swear, I think they just put him out there because they want somebody who can actually... Because Morrow's like all about wrestling, but he doesn't know how to sell USA products.
That's why it's good.
Otunga's the only time Otunga shows any passion is when you bring up his wife.
Who's his wife? I actually don't know.
Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
Who I don't really think has had a huge hit in some time now, so I don't know. But yes, back to the Royal Rumble. Okay, not back to the Royal Rumble. This is something we talked about before we began recording. I understand why they do it. I honestly think they need to look at their products and cut back on time. Like, the Royal Rumble was 6 hours.
I didn't watch the pre-show.
I didn't either. I don't watch pre-shows. I can't.
I don't watch the pre-show until somebody starts saying, like, there's a match going on, and then I'll watch that, and then I'll turn back off. Because it's on YouTube, so it's not as intense as putting it on the network. And the matches weren't any.
For me, it's like WWE was already too much for me, and I decided when I'm going to watch this, I'm so not going to bother with the pre-show.
But I guess, like I said, I was talking about it as somebody who went to WrestleMania and SummerSlam last year. I was at WrestleMania, I think, something like 8 hours. And I understand making WrestleMania longer.
That's too long for a wrestling show.
Yeah, I understand making WrestleMania longer.
I went to tournaments, like wrestling tournaments locally, and those were not that long.
Yeah. Like, see, when they had the brand splits and they were doing like SmackDown and Raw exclusive pay-per-views, my hope were that they wouldn't keep them at 3 hours. They'd make them like 2 hours, like the old In Your House pay-per-views. Then you make Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam 3 hours, and then WrestleMania 4 hours. But what they decided instead was to make the normal pay-per-views 3 hours, put SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Survivor Series at 4 hours, and make WrestleMania 5 hours.
I think it makes it even worse when Raw is already 3 hours.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. Was No Mercy? I'm sure No Mercy was under 3 hours, wasn't it?
Like they're about the 2 hours and 45 minute mark, which is what it tip. But yeah, like my assumption was, especially with SmackDown, which has a very thin roster, was to make like a nice 2 hour pay per view, and not necessarily a 3 hour thing. Because again, if you watched wrestling last week for NXT Royal Rumble, you put in 2 hours into NXT.
By the way, 2 hours for NXT, this wasn't the best takeover I've seen, but 2 hours, it was still a good watch.
Yeah, you put in 6 hours for the Royal Rumble, 3 hours for Raw, 2 hours for SmackDown, an hour for 205 Live, an hour for NXT. I mean, it's just, I stopped watching NXT, not that it's bad, but just because like by the time Wednesday comes around, I'm just like, I'm so dumb. I don't watch 205 Live either. The only reason I watch 205 Live is to know when it ends, like watch Talking Smack. But I feel like they either need to get rid of 205 Live or get rid of the Cruiserweights on Raw. Because I feel like having both, it just dilutes it. Like, they're just going to recap what happened on 205 Live on Raw anyhow.
So 205 Live is actually a separate show.
Yes.
Yeah, it's recorded after SmackDown when people are leaving, so the crowd always looks... That's why the crowd's always, like, really dark for no reason, because it just moves people down.
I still remember when they introduced, like, well, I saw some of the Cruiserweight stuff because you all told me that there was good shit there. And I remember that after that ended, I think, they introduced the Cruiserweights into Raw, and I thought that was a good idea. I guess you could kill, like, an hour that way. That was my thinking, but apparently that's not what they did.
No,
I mean, essentially what the Cruiserweights have become is what the Divas used to be.
That's a problem.
Yes, and that's a big problem.
That was this match, actually, in the Rumble. It's like that one match was fine, but the crowd was dead. And later I heard, like, for a lot of people apparently who were there, it was like the piss break.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what they do by, like I said, they change commentators, they change the ring ropes. So for a lot of people, it just signals, I don't need to watch this match.
You mentioned the Divas, because it is this case with the Great Divas Revolution of 2015. Here we go, we're going to try and push all the Cruiserweights at one time, and then just screw it and nobody cares, and then you get... Got guys that are just being wasted as all hell. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure Ciampa and Gargano, quite on the NXT, but Ciampa and Gargano were originally advertised for it.
I think so, but they did a much better tag team. But but you know, to that point, I mean, there's a reason that we're on our fourth Cruiserweight champion in like 4 months. It's because literally anybody who gets any reaction becomes champion. Because they did TJ Perkins. And then, like, the Brian Kendrick got a reaction because people know who he is. He becomes champion. Wait, this Rich Swann gets a reaction. He becomes champion. Okay, no, wait, Neville's a heel. Let's give him the championship.
But to be fair, though, TJP didn't get any sort of reaction throughout the Classic. And when he won the title, he was booed. And then got reaction as champion.
I don't think he was booed, but I think...
He was booed by proxy of not being Ibushi.
Yeah, I think it was a tough position for him. I like TJP. I like when he won, and then they put him with that video game gimmick, which was really strange. And then his first appearance on Raw wasn't on Raw. It's really like, oh, we have Knight of Champions, so we have to defend the Cruiserweight Championship. So their first appearance was a number one contenders match, and then he had the number one contenders, but we never met the champion. And it's like, oh, he's on the pay per view. And they don't really give him any time to talk. And then the matches, like, you look at the Cruiserweight Classic, those 10, 15-minute matches were intense. Here they get, like, 5 minutes. And they don't really get to do much because it's the same people trading wins back and forth. Again, like I said, this is kind of where the Divas were a few years ago. They even have the same segment that the Divas have, like that segment in between, you know, like the end of the second hour and the start of the end of the... The beginning of the third hour and the end, when they have the main event segment, they have like that one Pyatt Kenzer thing that the Divas used to do, or tag teams, and now it's the Cruiserweights. And then they give them their entire show, and I think it's a lot of people are running on the job as they're trying to figure out who their characters are, and that it doesn't seem to be working for anybody. So I think they should give them 205 for a bit. And then come back when everybody's kind of well-defined and gets over with the crowd. They also need to start taping this before SmackDown, so the crowd isn't dead.
Yeah. But they won't. Because Cruiserweight should have been SmackDown anyway. But, you know.
Well, I was under the assumption of that at first, but then you realize that SmackDown's only 2 hours, and even now, jumping all over the place. SmackDown had one match on this pay-per-view. And that was a world title match. There was no tag team titles. I mean, IC champion was there, but he was in the Royal Rumble.
So you're not counting the pre-show match?
I'm not really counting the pre-show match.
Okay,
but,
fair enough.
But yeah, and you look at that. And then you look at, like, they already had to do a story this week where American Alpha is like, you know, we weren't on the Royal Rumble. And it's like, yeah, the tag team champions haven't been on the show in like 4 weeks. So it's like, I understand, like, SmackDown does a really good job of pacing itself, but I think adding a whole different division would just kind of kill what they do have. I do think they need bodies because the roster is really thin, and they always do something to highlight that. Like, they had the tag team, they had the tag team brawl this week, and it's like, okay, there's like five teams here. Or the Divas match they had on at the Royal Rumble in the pre-show. That was all the Divas on the roster, and we've had this kind of mixed tag match before. Anyhow, but okay, so Royal Rumble, once again. The pre-show was whatever. I didn't like Anderson and Gallows winning the tag titles on the pre-show. It just felt like a non-event for them.
Yeah, I don't understand putting title matches on a pre-show.
Especially a title change.
Oh yeah, that especially, yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I think it's one of those anything could happen sort of things that they want to go for to try and get you to watch it.
I kind of get that, but at the same time, I feel like, especially being that they spent so much of last year fighting for the tag titles, that it should have been a bigger win on a pay-per-view. And it's weird to say that because they're the heels, but I feel like this whole angle was booked Archie because they came off as the baby faces. Because like Cesaro and Sheamus were, you know, regained their titles by cheating essentially, and then they had the two referees, and the referee got knocked out, but they won the match fair anyhow. So it's like, I don't understand the booking of this at all.
By the way, how was that match?
It was okay. It was kind of there.
Okay, so nothing special.
I kind of feel that way about I like Sheamus and Cesaro together, but I don't feel like I feel like once they won the tag titles, it's just kind of been like they've been there. And I guess it's partially because they just had this feud with Anderson and Gallows. It's not been anything extraordinary.
Mm.
And again, they weren't given a ton of time. And it looks like the teasing is fit between the two, which I'm conflicted by, because the way they became a tag team is by fighting like a dozen times. I don't want to see them break up and fight again.
Nobody does. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, so hopefully if that's done at Fast Lane and not WrestleMania. And then like we mentioned earlier, they had the SmackDown 6 Divas, 6 women tag team match.
That's better. God, how sexist.
Which was Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, not Kamaya, who's the other?
Natalya
versus Nikki Bella, Naomi, and Becky Lynch. I honestly didn't see it. I saw the end of this match, and I knew where it was going from when SmackDown set it up. That Naomi pinned Becky Lynch, and then Naomi pinned Becky Lynch again on SmackDown, which means she's the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship at Elimination Chamber in a week. I mean, like I said, there's always so many women wrestlers on this brand. It's a force. It's a terrible habit. But yes, I mean, because I assume essentially that is either going to be a multi-person match or it's going to be Nikki versus Alexa at WrestleMania.
Oh, of course, because it's been too long now. Nikki needs to get a belt.
By the way, did Mickey? Sorry, Mickey. Alexa Bliss actually become better because I only remember her being called up too early.
She's great on the mic. I don't necessarily think she's a great wrestler yet. I think she has a similar problem that AJ does, and that they're so tiny that they don't really have any weight to them in the ring, and it shows with her moves because like nothing can get hits with the impact.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, it could. Her matches with Becky Lynch haven't been anything special, so
okay,
there's that.
I was just curious because I thought like when she was in NXT, you could see like, well, she can probably get somewhere, but she isn't there yet.
It's one of those things, I think, when she got called up to NXT, they had to call up some women to like build up the women's roster, and they took the two greenest but ones with the most potential. Meanwhile, on NXT, Lord have mercy. If I never have to see Liv Morgan again.
But yes.
Because that was the
whole thing. And they also called up Nia Jax, right?
Yes, which we'll get to in a second.
I just remember her totally sucking on NXT.
And I don't think she's improved a ton. I think it's one of those things where she gets to hide it because she's a monster, so she doesn't have to look impressive. She just needs to look dominant.
But you can do that and still be good.
Yeah, you can, but they haven't asked her to do that yet because she fought Sasha Banks on the pre-show, and it was pretty much a one-sided match because Sasha is still suffering the knee injury from Roadblock and the whatever. Just as an aside, I have to have somebody pointing this out, and this is true. Sasha Banks went through several tables at Hell in a Cell. She was okay to wrestle like the next week. She's had the second injury for like 6 weeks now. No, actually, I guess she's on. Yeah, 7 weeks now. She's had the second injury she can't recover from. So, so Iron Man matches are much more dangerous than Hell in a Cells. But, yeah, like I said, Nia hasn't really been asked to do much. I think her longest match is probably the one with Bayley, which is maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And even then, Bayley won lucky. So, and this is the same thing. She's not asked to do much. She's not asked to speak, which I honestly don't like when they actually do make her speak. Because she gave a promo against Sasha. I forget if it was this week or week before. And they gave her kind of that Roman Reigns, really goofy. No. Like she was singing like some type of nursery rhyme or something. I'm like if you're a badass, like at Braun Strowman, they do not like Braun Strowman go out there for 10 minutes to talk. And I think that's the same thing
because
with Nia
Jax. It's probably because if you keep his face in the focus of a camera for too long, and you remember how much he just looks like a baby with a beard, and then they get super distracted. And then you just can't take him as seriously.
Yeah.
But it's the Nia stuff. It's like, I don't think Braun has overly improved. In the past year, I just think they're booking him a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
To where I wouldn't mind seeing him, like in the Rumble itself. I thought it was a great display because they know how to book him now.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I think the problem's going to be Fastlane when they have him against Roman. Because then you have to do an actual match. So, he's been decent when he's had somebody, like when he does Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, where it's somebody who can just bounce off of him, it's much easier. But again, when you have to, when they start doing back and forth with him, I think that's going to be the real test. But yeah, I think a lot of the people they've called up in the last year are still relatively green. They've just improved on how to market them. Like, even Baron Corbin is still kind of in a position where I don't necessarily... Like, Baron Corbin's weird to me. Because I don't
know... When I saw him in Rumble, I thought he looked somewhat better.
He looks
also,
better.
Also, apparently, they don't make him wear a shirt, which I think is funny.
His belly button, yo, it's too distracting.
But yeah, I don't necessarily care for him much on, like, the shows. But whenever he's on Talking Smack, he comes off as a much better character. And he's like, I don't know if he's in character or if it's him. Like, he literally is a quote-unquote lone wolf. Like, he doesn't hang out with the guys. He doesn't, like, he goes back to his hotels after shows and stuff like that.
And oh, he's a lone wolf, so is he white supremacist?
You know what? It actually would not surprise me.
Political commentary.
Do the gimmick.
But yes, and then they kicked off the show with Charlotte versus Bayley. Which kind of, again, goes back to weird booking, because Charlotte won fair and square. Like, I get that they want to make her this dominant wrestler, but it's like, they made her too dominant, I guess, because, I mean, I guess it's kind of hard, because you don't want to complain about her always cheating, but when she beats on a babyface's king, what does Sasha or Bayley really have to say to her now? She's beaten them both easily.
Also, I thought this match was just okay. I've seen both of them do better.
Yeah, I think they're trying to save it. But my question is, what are they saving it for? Because, like, again, if they do this at WrestleMania, what is Bayley's consent for getting a rematch?
It's going to be a multi-man match. Multi-person match.
Yeah,
at Mania. Again.
I assume it's going to be a four-way with Nia.
I don't know if I want to see that.
No, I don't. Because honestly speaking, I think ideally what they should have done is had Nia versus Bayley at the Royal Rumble for the number one contenders match at Fastlane, and have Bayley use that, and then have Nia versus Charlotte at Fastlane, and then have because the whole thing with Bayley, she has to be an underdog babyface, and having her beat Nia the first time out on Raw just defeated the purpose of that, and then having her lose Kidney doesn't do anything for her character, but you have this underdog babyface who can't win the big one versus the queen of pay-per-view at WrestleMania, and she overcomes the odds and beats the queen of pay-per-view at WrestleMania. That's a big story. Now it's like, okay, Charlotte's already beat you. Now what?
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing as well, because, like, I'm okay with it being Charlotte versus Bayley, like, in the idea of it. It's wondering what Sasha's going to be doing, if it's not the multi-person match, because I can't, as much as, like, the Sasha Charlotte will be there, as it's been said like a million times, the Lita Trish feud. The dynamic has to change, and I don't want to see Charlotte as a face. I think she's just perfect as a heel, and I don't want to see that again.
We have seen her as a face, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah, she's a much better heel. She takes after her dad.
She's the queen.
Heel. Yes. It's also kind of funny. Look, I don't... What happened to Dana?
Wait, was she called up?
Yeah, she was called up with Emma, but Emma got injured, so she went with Charlotte, and she's been with Charlotte since, like, May, but she hasn't really been around in, like, the last 2 months.
Because she's Dana not good.
Brooke got called up?
She's worse than Liv Morgan. She's worse than Liv Morgan. I'm saying
girl
it. She's worse than Liv Morgan.
She doesn't know to wrestle and just puts in posing everywhere she can.
I was about to say, that's the only thing she's good
at. Can't do a makeup. In.
And she can't really... She only has one pose. It's the bicep.
But true.
She has that little flip still, doesn't she? cartwheel. No hand cartwheel.
But yeah, she was called up, and she's been on the main roster for some time. They probably knew that, because most of the matches they had was her just getting beat real quick. But
it's also her mess up in the matches as well.
So
she botches matches she's not even in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she messed up one of Charlotte's matches that she was supposed to be involved in, and botched that finish.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really impressive. I don't get it. That was the one versus, it wasn't Sasha, it was somebody, where she was supposed to hit her, she was supposed to slap her, and the person moved, like, way before she did that, and I'm like, whatever.
Definitely sometimes confuse as to who they call up and who they don't. Is it just, like, they don't want to call up all the good people so that NXT doesn't completely suck?
Well, I think they called up...
They call up guys who are not ready? I don't know.
I mean, there's certain people that I imagine Vince has a thing for. Like, he probably called up Dana. Well, I think Dana was called up because she was called up with Emma. And they were appearing in NXT.
Vince probably thinks she's hot, though.
Yeah. And I think Nia was called... Well, Nia was called up because of her size. Eva Marie was called up because...
Which, by the way, not a good reason.
No, but, I mean, that was literally the reason Braun Strowman was called up. Because he was one of the few people who pretty much fascinated NXT. You have people...
Braun Strowman's fourth ever match was on Raw.
Yeah, so...
I'm pretty sure I saw that match. It was awful.
Oh, no, Braun was a terrible work... Like, when he first came in, all he did was, like, that weird bear hug move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that was pretty much it. And... I mean, honestly, he's not improved much because, again, they haven't had him. Like, his biggest feud so far has been with Sami Zayn, and that's basically been him tossing Sami Zayn around.
I have some choice words for him later, so let's move on.
Yes, moving on. So, yes, I mean, the natural selection on the ring apron was a nice thing. Then the next match was that the WWE Universal title match?
Yeah, Owens...
Versus Reigns with Chris Jericho in this kind of sexy pinata. I mean, this match wasn't bad.
I had the same feeling. I had the same feeling with this match as with one before. It was just okay.
Yeah, I felt
like for me, what actually kept me entertained was mostly just seeing the kind of shenanigans that Jericho did, or Owens, or they both of them together. like how Owens pretended to be like a super concern for Jericho and stuff. I think that was probably the most entertaining to me.
At one point, he blew a kiss up to him.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Nothing that Reigns did interested me at any point.
Honestly speaking, the thing that kept me intrigued throughout most of this match was figuring out what was going to happen with the chairs. Because, you know, the rule of thumb, like in filmmaking, the rule of thumb is if somebody said something about the start of the match, it's going to pay off at the end of the match. Which also kind of distracted me, because anytime there was a near fall, like, the match isn't going to end because they still have the chairs to go through.
True.
No, I'm just waiting to see what happens to the chairs.
And Owens was a fucking trooper for some of these bumps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to ask Roman to do it. That bump that Braun did to him on the table was vicious looking. It honestly did look like he bumped off like the edge of it. But yeah, and the chair spot was okay. It wasn't any, like, he just kind of went through it. I guess that's the safest way to go through that, because with so many chairs at different angles, if you do anything else, you might end up hurting the person. But yeah.
But the single chair that he completely demolished by landing on, that looked way more vicious.
Yeah. that just looked bad.
I don't even know if that was planned.
I assumed it was planned. I didn't think they thought this chair was going to collapse in that fashion. Wait, not even collapse, it just like pancaked. But yeah, and then the end came with I was actually surprised Roman didn't win. I had pegged Roman winning this match. Because I still don't see them keeping the title on Owens into WrestleMania.
No, there's no chance Owens is champion into Mania. Don't think there's any chance that either champion will be champion at WrestleMania.
No,
this is the Raw title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so who else is there at Raw?
His name begins with R. His second name begins with R. He is the next Cena. He will be champion into Mania this year.
I guess it depends, because I see them doing Roman versus Braun at Fastlane, but I can see them doing a triple threat.
Roman Reigns as champion at WrestleMania. I don't think I want to hear the crowd.
Well, I mean, we said a crowd at the Royal Rumble, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, I don't, like, because I imagine, even though it will be a step down, I imagine that it's going to be Owens versus Jericho at Mania for the U.S. title. So I don't know.
I could see that actually being a good match. Well,
yeah, that will, and it will be an entertaining feud to see them kind of do. Though it's going to be weird if two of the main feuds going into WrestleMania are quote-unquote friends fighting, with Bray and Orton being pegged for the SmackDown championship match.
Also, unlike Reigns, both of those people can talk. Yeah. Man, can they talk?
Reigns can talk. I dispute this. Reigns can talk. They just give shit promos.
Reigns is physically able to talk. That's not his
Roman has charisma. They just give him stupid things to say, like that suckering succotash crap.
Yeah, Roman has like natural charisma, but to Kyle's point, they give him the worst material. It's like they don't know his strength, so they just make him John Cena 2. Because, like, John Cena can say sucker and succotash because John Cena is, like, that really uncool white dude that we like. Because, I mean, when you start off as a white rapper, like, you can only go up from there on the uncool white boy spectrum. So if he said something like sucker and succotash, it'd be like, okay, it's John Cena. It's goofy, it's stupid, but it's John Cena. But Roman Reigns is supposed to be the quote-unquote cool guy. And that's what they portray him as, but he's never that. He's goofy. And it's kind of going back to this. Like, see, when this happened, I thought, okay, they're doing Roman versus Braun at WrestleMania. And then the Royal Rumble happened, so I'm like, oh, are they doing Roman versus Taker? And it looks like they're going with Roman versus Braun at Fastlane and then Roman versus Taker at Mania.
Which I don't mind.
Both matches sound awful.
Just don't think that Braun should lose. But he kind of has to if he's going against Taker. If Roman's going to be against Taker.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense. And I don't... See, that's why I also don't think he needs the title. Because I don't think Taker versus Roman needs a title. it's weird because we'll get to this in a second. Okay, then the next match was, what was the name?
Neville.
Oh yes, yeah, the Cruiserweight Championship match. Wow, Neville versus
Rich Swan.
There we go. Thank you. I always get him, and this is gonna sound racist as hell. I always get him and Cedric Alexander confused.
Wow.
Not a confused on appearance, but just on their names. I always just cross over their two names. But I'm like, it's not Cedric, so.
And this match was decent. I liked it.
It's a good
match. Liked it, but the problem was really was that the crowd was completely dead during it, which didn't help it.
Well, I think the problem with this, and this is actually a good thing for Neville as a heel, but maybe not for the crowd trying to bind the cruiserweights, is that Neville wrestled this match as a wrestler, not a cruiserweight. So he wasn't doing, you know, like, he wasn't doing planchers or suicide dives, or he wasn't doing high risk aerial spots. He was doing more ground based.
I really like Neville as a heel. I think that this whole thing works way better for him than whatever it was he was doing before.
Yeah, and it's and you know, they always say the best way to become, you know, to change your dynamic is to change your character. And I think going to a more ground-based offense, I think, you know, getting a new look, he had the haircut, which I like the haircut, but it, you know, the other hair kind of hit his ears, which this one does not. Getting a new theme song, getting rid of the cape. The cape was always stupid. But getting rid of a lot of that stuff to evolve his character makes a lot of sense. And actually speaking, he's really good on the mic, too.
As a heel?
Yes.
I don't think he was before face ever.
Yeah, see, I was going to say, but you can't really compare because he didn't really get any time to talk as a face.
Yeah, but when he did, it wasn't good.
The problem is that none of their faces are allowed to be in any way clever or just not idiots. So when you give him any sort of material to act, when he does, on the rare occasion he does speak, he just sounds like an idiot. I know in WWE that all the baby faces are morons. Like, all the time, they just do dumb stuff.
I don't think all of them are, but most of them. Like, I honestly think, even though his matches are whatever these days, I don't think Dean Ambrose is considered an idiot. And I think they kind of...
Oh, Dean Ambrose is...
He's not an idiot, though. Like, they give him that kind of wacky personality, but a lot of the stuff he does as a face makes sense as a face.
As the face that dresses up in... it's not even cosplay. Just dresses up like in stupid costumes every couple of weeks.
Yeah, but that, again... But, I mean, I'm talking about stuff like, okay, for instance, the time with, like, AJ Styles and James Ellsworth after TLC, where he just comes out, he doesn't talk, and he hits him with dirty deeds. I'm like, that's it. Like, you don't need to go back and forth with him. Why, James, why? You just not a him out and stuff like that. Or, you know, he has that cool kind of aloof personality, and I guess because of that, they don't really get him to do... Like, he's not stupid in the sense that, oh, why did you... You know, like... Roman Reigns, where a lot of people just kind of turn on him, or he just expects that Jericho and Owens won't get involved in each other's matches to get disqualified or something like that. Or, jumping ahead a bit, Seth Rollins, who's a babyface, who was told by the Hill Authority figure not to show up to the Royal Rumble, and he does not show up to the Royal Rumble. It's like, that is such a stupid move. Like, you don't make the Hill get one over on you. You interrupt something, but I'm like, what would he have interrupted? Or my favorite Seth Rollins moment was on Raw, where he's been fuming at this guy for months now. He came to NXT to kind of call him out. This guy comes out to the ring, and you make him sit there and give a promo for 10 minutes. Like, why did you need to hear what he had to say? You just wanted to fight him like 2 nights ago. Why are you waiting for him to call you out? Anyhow.
This feud's been dragged out way too long.
It's not even that it's dragged out. It's that...
It's not been dragged out. It's been stalled on.
Yes,
it's something that they planned just after... They started just after SummerSlam. And then they've only now... Only in what? On Raw was the first time they'd been in the ring at the same time.
Yes, which I get. Which I didn't even mind. The problem was that Seth Rollins forgot about it for like 4 months. And then one night or more, he's like, "Oh yeah, Triple H screwed me over a few months ago. I'm mad at him." And it's like, "Oh,
and because he set it up as well. It'd be like they then in a promo that he caught, he basically set up that it would be him versus Hunter for the belt at Mania. But then he went, no. Because he had the list of people who he had to get back at, and ultimately it's Triple H.
Yeah, and then,
Now he hasn't really got back at Kevin Owens, even though Kevin Owens didn't really do anything.
And he didn't get back at Jericho. But,
yeah.
But I guess he did beat Jericho, so that counts as something.
Yes, okay.
But yes, I think the feud was, it was started prematurely because of Finn Balor getting injured. But I think there were ways you could, and even the Stephanie involvement stuff, they dropped after a few weeks. Where it's like, was Stephanie involved? Does she know? And it's like, oh, okay, it doesn't matter anymore, I guess. So, yeah, it's been a really stupid feud, and now he might be injured, so. Well, he is injured, but for how long, nobody knows. So it might be dead in the water anyhow.
Okay. Well, we just have to all the delay again till WrestleMania 34.
Yeah, at this point, I just throw it. Like, I can understand. Like, they could get some mileage out of Seth versus Samoa Joe for a while, and maybe prolong it to SummerSlam. But even then, it's not. It's not a hot feud to begin with because people want to cheer Triple H, the quote unquote creator. This guy does not need more nicknames. But because most of the times you see him now is NXT and like the UK tournament, it's like he's a good guy to most wrestling fans.
He wants people to like him. This is the problem. He wants, like, the stuff he was doing last year with Roman. It's like, you've been in this game in this way too long to not know what you're doing. And what you're doing is stuff that will make them cry. Nothing gets a crowd to pop more than a crotch chop. So what was he doing? He was crotch chopping him all the time. Stop doing dumb stuff and they won't cheer you. Just bring back the Reign of Terror. But that's how you'll get people to hate you again.
But yes, that was. I mean, that's always been Triple H's career. Is like he wants to be the bad guy who's liked by people. So he's all. You know, it's always why he's been the bad guy with like the sarcastic comment, and he has to get the last word. It's like he can't. Nobody can get one up on him, face or heel. So he's always got to be the coolest guy in the room. Which is why, like, in the early days, it wasn't so bad, because, like, there was no way he was getting one up on Rock or Austin or anybody like that, or Foley. But now, like, you get people like Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns doesn't really know how to talk back. You get people, like, he had stuff with Sting. Sting's stuff was stupid. Like, the Daniel Bryan stuff worked out, because Daniel Bryan was a bona fide babyface you can get behind, and there was nothing. Triple H wasn't a face in any manner in that sense. So yeah, what else was there? Oh yeah, so the WWE World Title match. I am conflicted on this match.
I actually liked it.
And I think it's a really good match, but I think it's the same problem that Cena and AJ have had, in that like, the last 10 minutes is just like finisher kick out, finisher variation.
Yeah,
you said the wrong word then. There's no such thing as a finisher for starters anymore.
I get what you mean, Earl, but overall I think this was a really good match. And in my opinion, it cut above anything else on this card.
Oh yeah, easy. I mean, easy. This is the match of the night. Might end up being their match of the year. Who knows? I think the thing that Cena and AJ get, before the finisher sequence at the end, was that you don't necessarily need to do move. Like, some of the best moments in the match were like anticipation, like when Cena got super angry and he started hulking out, and AJ gets up and he just hits him with that clothesline, and I'm like, god damn, Executor's gonna take the guy's head off. But it makes sense, because it's like, it's a guy you can't beat, so you're just gonna have to throw everything at him. And, just like, the constant setup for their finishes and kicking out and stuff like that. I think, I don't think it's better than, I don't want to make this comparison and start this on this path, but it's definitely not better than Okada Omega, which is what a lot of people
that match
compare it to.
Was something.
I've already seen a match better than that, and it's not from either of those two this year anyway, but okay.
Well, we're not going to, that's another topic for another day. But yeah, I think I mean, this was easily the best match. And, you know, I always hate when people are like, oh, he got buried. He got, like, AJ kicked out of, like, 50 AAs. And in order to beat him, Cena had to do two of them in a row.
But, okay, that many eight. What does that mean? But everyone kicks out of the attitude adjustment.
I think that's a problem that WWE needs to work on, which is why I'm not a huge fan of these finisher sequences. Because
it's also like... Roman's the biggest culprit of that. Nobody's multiple finishes ever work, but you only ever say it is once, and you're done. Which, like, there are some moves that are protected, like the RKO, for the most part, and the RKO and End of Days are two what are the most protected moves that I can think of off the top of my head.
One that I can also think of that I always think is weird is the Neutralizer. I don't know many people who've actually kicked out of that.
But,
Anyway, Earl, I totally agree with you that that is something that WWE needs to work on. I think sequences like that can be cool, but they need to be limited. Like you just earlier mentioned New Japan, and when you have someone kick out of the Rainmaker, it's a big deal. It doesn't happen more often. You do that when they have their biggest show of the year, but not every time.
That's what happens usually at WrestleMania, yeah.
Yeah, it what really killed it for Cena, even though I loved that reign, was the U.S. title challenge, because everybody was kicking out of the AA every week. So it became a normal thing, like, oh, they kicked out of the AA. And it's the same thing with AJ. I honestly don't know if he's beaten anybody with the Styles Clash.
James Ellsworth?
Whatever, and then he did the he has what, three finishes? He has the calf crusher, and then the phenomenal forearm is his kind of main one. But I don't think honestly, speaking of all the moves, you would think the Styles Clash has become a transitional move for him, where he just kind of popped it out of anywhere, and that should be the ultimate finisher. But whatever, I don't book WWE. But great match. Again, I kind of expected Cena to win 16 at some point, because he went through most of 2015 and 2016 without... Well, he went through all of 2016 without ever being a champion.
It was good, I would say.
Yeah. I think his 16th should have come at WrestleMania, and I think AJ versus Cena at WrestleMania would have made a lot more sense.
I kind of agree, but at the same time, I think... What, if anything, 17 should be at WrestleMania, because that's the breaking. Equaling is whatever. Breaking the record.
But you see,
should have been at WrestleMania.
I get that. I was going to say, the other thing with that is, as far as we know, like, their plan is for him to use the title in a week. So it's
I mean, I know that, but...
I know that, because
ideal is 17 would be at WrestleMania.
Daniel Bryan was talking about this on Talking Smack, like how Ric Flair had a lot of short title reigns. I mean, John Cena has literally had title reigns that lasted, like, 10 minutes. So you can't say that he hasn't had short title reigns. Like, there are times where he's literally won the title, he lost the title, win it back, and then lose it right again.
He hasn't had any reign, as far as I can think of, he hasn't had any reign that compares to the first two.
Yeah. Well, no.
The first two were his longest.
Yeah, the first one was almost a year. And the second, well, no, he had a reign in between, wait, no. Yeah, he had a reign in between that, but that was broken up. So the second one wasn't as long, because the second one was from Royal Rumble until One Night Only.
What?
Because he lost to the RVD.
Oh, One Night Stand.
Yeah, One Night Stand. He lost to the RVD, and then he won it back that summer, and then I think he kept that for almost a year after that, because that was the one where he... And then after that, it was basically a few months here and there. And then there was he's had a few reigns where it's been, like I said, his shortest is literally 10 minutes, I think, is when he won the Elimination Chamber, and then Batista challenged him right after that. And then he beat Batista again at WrestleMania. And then I think he was in it like 3 months later. Or there was the one where he lost it at an Elimination Chamber, he won it back at WrestleMania, and then I think he lost it again at Backlash to Edge. Within like 2 months, so the stupidest title reign changes to me are the one with him and Batista, and the one with Triple H and Orton when they changed the title like three times in one night.
Oh,
So,
One thing I wanted to say about John Cena and Styles is, I didn't, like I said, I didn't see the whole storyline leading up to it. I just got WWE's short introduction before the match, right?
Yeah.
Storyline was kind of weird. Like, I kind of thought it was funny in doing a storyline about Styles being the new shit and throwing out the old garbage with Cena, basically. They are both the same age. They're both 39. None of them is like a young...
It's also really
pretty chicken.
It's also really weird because two years ago they had the Cena versus Rusev feud, where the backbone of that feud was that Cena was the old guy on his way out, and then they completely dropped that now. It's like Cena's he's a veteran, he's been there forever, but he's still in charge, he's still whatever. But yeah, it's actually kind of funny. They don't it's weird because they mention that they do this with certain people where they're like, oh, that's this young up and comer, and it's like this guy's like 35. I get it, but like they treat AJ that way. Like, oh, his first year was phenomenal. No, but it's not his first year. He's been wrestling like 15 years now. I mean,
and it's something that they like to remind you how long he's been wrestling, and then remind. But don't forget, he doesn't count unless you're in the WWE.
Yeah, but even then, he's wrestled in WWE, maybe a match or two, but he wrestled there. And I assume they're going to do the same thing with Bobby Roode when he comes up to the main roster. And dude's like 36.
Who?
Bobby Roode.
Oh, Bobby Roode.
I think Triple H. He looks exactly like. He's basically Triple H.
Triple H with a personality.
Also Nakamura, probably.
Yeah, okay.
No, Nakamura's not going to get a push because of his English, no matter what. They still have that hang-up.
Nakamura's so great.
And then came the Royal Rumble match.
And let me tell you what my thought process was when I saw the introduction to this match, because I wasn't really completely aware of the storyline was going into this. When I learned that basically Brock Lesnar, fucking Goldberg, and The Undertaker were going to be in this match. When I heard that, I was like, okay, so this match is just going to be a bunch of jobbers getting thrown out until we get to those big guys, then the important stuff happens, and then it's going to end. And I wasn't too far off, I think. Except for, I guess, Brock getting thrown out really early, really fast.
Oh no, that was expected.
Okay.
But I think to your point, and I think the problem with that is like they backloaded everything in like the last 10 minutes. Because I was doing the math. I'm like, okay, what, we're up to number 20. We haven't seen Orton yet. We haven't seen Bray. We haven't seen Taker. We haven't seen Brock. We haven't seen Goldberg. And I'm like, wow. So all these big names are on the back half, and it's so weird because you would think like the first quarter or so it's Braun Strowman dominating. I'm like, okay, Braun's going to be dominating. And then, like, Brock or Goldberg.
And I have to say, like, the first 50 minutes were fucking boring. Like, nothing was happening. And the Braun Strowman stuff was just stupid.
No, disagree. Braun Strowman's great. Booking.
I like the Braun Strowman stuff. I didn't like Baron Corbin throwing him out was such an odd decision. Because then Baron Corbin did nothing for the rest of the match.
Yeah, that I agree.
Like, actually,
but if anything, you let Braun Strowman get in by one of the smaller guys, I guess. Not like, I'm not saying like getting eliminated by someone like Ellsworth, but someone that's not quite as big as him. Meanwhile, you just have big guy eliminates big guy, and who does Corbin end up getting eliminated?
This is Taker. This was pretty much a Haas Royal Rumble. I think the only person who's under like 6'5". 250 was Jericho, who eliminated two people. Everybody else, it was either Braun, Taker, Brock, Goldberg. I think Cesaro and Sheamus eliminated New Day. And
I have a list here with who Sheamus eliminated two.
Yeah.
And Cesaro eliminated two.
Yeah, that was.
And yeah, otherwise you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Orton eliminated Roman, but Orton, I guess he's like 6'4", like 235 or something like that. So he's just under there. But yeah,
so And the big problem with how this Rumble was structured is, like you said, it was heavily backloaded, and they had these big names, and the problem was nothing interesting has happened before. They had kind of no big surprise entries. I guess they thought that, well, we have these big guys coming in later. That's good enough. So, like, what's fun about Rumble didn't even occur.
Yeah, but the problem... You say that, but the problem with having all these surprise entrants... Say, like, they brought... I'm trying to think of someone old. Someone who's not been there in a while. But say... I can't even think of... who's injured? Say you bring back Zack Ryder, that's even a surprise, or whatever. You're devaluing... whoever's not been in the company for a few years, you do immediately devalue the rest of the roster. Because clearly they don't matter anymore. Because
that's not even necessarily what I mean. I mean, look at how they brought in Styles or whatever. You could do something better with some of the bigger guys from NXT. Like, they brought Ty Dillinger in at 10. I mean, he's cool, but he did nothing.
I was going to say, that was my biggest problem. Because one of my least favorite Royal Rumbles is 2009. And that's one of those ones where it's like, okay, we'll just fill up the ring with people. And then everybody just sits around punching each other and nothing's happening.
And that happened way too often in this Rumble.
Yeah, and I mean,
Many bodies in the ring and a lot of the time just lying around.
Yeah, and that happened. Like, I honestly thought they were going to do... the MVP of this Royal Rumble was Jericho. But like, Jericho didn't do anything. Like, I honestly thought, okay, the running gag of him always getting knocked out, I thought it was going to pay off. Like, it'd be like the person wins and Jericho's like outside the ring or something like that. But no, he just gets tossed out and that's it. because he gets knocked out by Big Show, he gets bro kicked by Sheamus, he's out the ring for like half of the match, and nothing comes of that. And I'm like, oh, that was disappointing. It's the same thing with a lot of people who were there, like the marathon wrestlers who were just kind of tossed out unceremoniously when the big guys came in. Brock had to carry out the ring, Goldberg had to carry out the ring, Taker had to carry out the ring.
Yeah, and that's not interesting when it happens four times
in a row, because it was like, it was what, Brock, then there was a Brock. My favorite part of this Royal Rumble was when Brock's in the ring and Enzo's music hits and Corey Graves is like orgasming for him to get beat up by Brock Lesnar. I'm like, that's the type of commentary I often hear. It's like when somebody's so passionate about something that he just wants to see Enzo beat up. He's like, shut up, I've been waiting. I'm like, oh gosh, he's way into this. But, and then it was Goldberg, and, because you have Wikipedia open, I think. I'm almost certain that Taker, Brock, and Goldberg, none of them lasted more than 10 minutes. I think Goldberg.
Goldberg was 3 minutes 21. Undertaker was 5 minutes 30.
And I think
Brock was 4 minutes 30.
Oh yeah. So like the whole big thing with those three, like that was a stretch of maybe like from Brock to Taker, that's like 8 minutes. So yep. Like the whole thing with them is just in 10 minutes of this Royal Rumble.
To compare. Strowman was in for 13 minutes and 11 seconds.
Yeah, and then he gets eliminated, and it's a non-story. Like, honestly speaking, if they were gonna, and I guess we'll get to this, if they were gonna bring Roman Reigns in, Roman Reigns should have come out and eliminated Strowman, or costing the Royal Rumble in some fashion. And, you can't do anything with Braun and Corbin. They're both heels, and they're on opposite brands.
And like, when I look at what they did at near the end, like, when they brought in Roman fucking Reigns at 30, I thought, maybe at 30 we will do something special. Nope. Roman fucking Reigns. The guy gets booed immediately. Like, fuck this. Because it was also the thing of people fearing, oh man, is he going to win another Rumble? And I only could think, like, well, fuck me. Couldn't they, I don't know, bring in Nakamura at 30 or something?
Right, granted, it's hindsight, because I was annoyed. Like, if anyone's paid attention to my Twitter feed, which you should, at just Kyle Lindsay, I was annoyed by Roman turning up, right? However, they did it because the plan, it seems to be, is Bray Orton at WrestleMania. That's what seems to be the plan. What would have... If they didn't want to give it Bray, how do you put over Orton winning? Oh, you put the guy that everybody hates and have him look like he's about to win it.
Yes, but...
But I also hate Orton. This doesn't change anything for me.
Here's the big problem. I get that logic, and I agree with it. The problem with that, and this is a problem that they've had for the last 4 years now, is if you knew your Royal Rumble winner was not going to go over well with their fans, why go with that?
Exactly.
It's the fear that people will... I think it more than anything was the fear that they might turn on the winner.
Yes, so that's my point.
Well, they won't. Yeah, that's why we should book all to win this thing.
Because they keep putting them in these cities where people just bitch. I'm not going to pretend I don't bitch, but the people putting them in these cities that will bitch at the mere mention of Roman Reigns' name. I don't like Reigns, but I don't bitch every time he's there.
Yeah, I get that, but again, my point
is... people being smarts and then just trying to ruin it for themselves.
My point is, if they knew that... If they feared that Orton winning wasn't going to go over, why make Orton win?
Okay, so who should have won? Okay, who should have won?
I don't know if there's a clear winner, but, I mean, like I said, if I was looking at Mania... Like, what is your intended card? Like, what do you want to... Like, Orton versus Bray, I don't think needs a title match for them, their feud to heat up at WrestleMania.
Agreed.
I don't think that Roman Taker needs a title match to heat up their feud. I don't think Brock versus Goldberg needs a title match to heat up. Yep. So, the strongest candidate would be, like, what would be good on the SmackDown side? And it depended on who you kept as champion. Like, honestly, if you wanted... I mean, it would have gone over differently, but I could see somebody like The Miz winning. I know people would have hated that, but it's a hatred that would have been earned and deserved. I'm not saying I was champion The Miz, but, like, The Miz versus...
I get that Miz is the number one. He's the greatest heel in the company at the moment. Don't care. I hate The Miz. I hate The Miz, but he's the best heel.
Supposed to hate The Miz.
Yeah, no. So he's doing it right. Who? How many of the heels do you hate?
That's my point. It's like you hate The Miz, but again, he's one of those few that you hate for the reasons you're supposed to hate. And you hate Charlotte, again, for the reason you're supposed to hate her. But, yeah, I'm not saying that The Miz should have won, but I'm saying, okay, who could you have done something interesting with at SmackDown? Like, honestly speaking, if they wanted to kind of go around about, maybe put AJ in the 30th position and have him win.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
I'm a fan of, like, the double duty thing, so I think AJ should have been in it.
I think it's stupid that AJ wasn't and Roman was. Because AJ lost his title. Roman just lost the match.
Or, like I said, bring a new guy in who's really good.
See, the problem with bringing a new guy at 30 is that if they didn't win, it's kind of a waste.
No, I mean they should win.
Yeah, like
It can only be Angle. The only person who could have won it is Angle. Nakamura can't win it Joe can't win it.
Yeah.
Because nobody will care if they are the main event. Yeah. Sorry, it's as much as I love Joe and as much as I love Nakamura, you forcing them into the main event is not going to work.
On the flip side, though, there are
worked with Balor I don't think
he's ready. But
more times than not, it doesn't work.
But I was gonna say on the flip side, you have two pay per views in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania now, so that you could have taken number one contendership away from. Like, that's not unprecedented. Where somebody challenges you and you end up using the number one contendership in between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. That happened with McMahon. That happened with Rey Mysterio.
Rey won.
Yeah, but Rey lost his number one contendership. And then it was added. He was added to the match after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a non-starter because he ended up in the title match and won it anyhow. But yeah, he lost his number one contendership at No Way Out to Orton that year. And technically, John Cena lost his number one contendership. I mean, he didn't lose it. He ended up in the match anyhow. But he, you know, he flipped it to be at the pay-per-view instead of at WrestleMania. So, yeah, there's that. So, I mean, it's no different. But like I said, I guess just...
And my main problem probably is that if this means I get Orton versus Cena at WrestleMania for the title, I'm not going to care.
My favorite thing, that's not going to happen. My favorite thing was on Talking Smack is Orton's talking about winning the Royal Rumble. He's like, John Cena versus Randy Orton is a match the fans don't know they want to see again. I'm like, no, we pretty much know we don't want to see this again.
I'm being serious. Like, I put on Twitter, if that's the match, I'm not watching WrestleMania. I didn't watch. I didn't watch between 27.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
I won't watch.
And it's kind of funny, just to kind of drive home the point of how often these two have fought, that they're actually fighting on SmackDown this week.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I don't.
Let's make this list even longer of those two fighting.
Too many cooks.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You can literally Google John Cena, Randy Orton. Google, and you'll come up with an image. I think they fought something like 10 times on pay-per-view. And
OSW Review made a segment about them fighting each other.
The Botchamania video as well.
They have fought at every major pay-per-view. They fought at Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam. They fought at TLC. They fought in Hell in a Cell. They fought in cage matches, Iron Man matches. I quit matches, I think.
Last man standing.
Was that the BDSM one? Or was that the I quit match?
Probably the I quit match. The one that Cena, some people keep accepting Cena to not to I quit matches when his whole gimmick is never give up. Good one, guys. Because you're going to win that.
Yeah, they fought at B-tier pay-per-views. They fought at Raw. I remember, what was it, 2010. They already had a match on Raw. This is the last time ever between these two. And then they fought 2 months later. They've unified championships.
The thing is, though, I feel like the only problem, they could have got away with it if Cena wasn't always the face and Orton wasn't always the heel.
Yeah.
They might have been able to get away with them having another match. More matches, but they don't because it's always that the same dynamic.
Have they ever fought as face versus face?
No. Don't think Orton's ever been
not,
face.
Not that I can remember, no.
The other thing with the Survivor's Royal Rumble ending, wow, is that technically Orton's playing a tweener right now. So, fans don't know what to do with that because he's technically in a heel faction, but people want to cheer him as a babyface, and he's not he's committed to the heel gimmick, but he's still kind of a face to a lot of people. So it's weird because he's just trying to infiltrate the Wyatt family, but it's so weird because it's like, okay, he wins, we're happy he's not Roman, but he's not necessarily a face, and he's not a heel, so we don't know what to do with this.
I worry.
But yes, like I said, just kind of since we're over the hour mark, just kind of looking ahead. Right now, the WrestleMania card looks like it's going to be Bray versus Orton, which I guess is yay for people because Bray wins his first world title. But I honestly don't think that's a WrestleMania match.
I honestly don't care about it.
So what is a WrestleMania? What would you see as a WrestleMania match? One that we don't know about, or one that we do.
Honestly speaking, at the SmackDown side, I would have loved to see a face Randy Orton versus a heel AJ Styles. I think that would have been a great match.
Only if Orton shows up caring.
I think he would have cared if it's for the world title. I think if you wanted to, because right now with the latest fans I saw for John Cena is stupid. Because the latest idea I think I saw was Cena and Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maurice.
Oh, kill me now.
So, honestly speaking, if they wanted to go back to that well, because they didn't really get much out of it, I had no problem seeing Cena versus Ambrose at WrestleMania. Because they kind of had that mini feud during the triple threat match they had on SmackDown last year. I think American Alpha will probably be in a multi-tag match. And I think the women's title match on SmackDown, I mean, in theory, it should be some combination of Mickey James, Alexa Bliss, and a face, which is either going to be Becky or Naomi. And that would be the SmackDown side for me. The Raw side, I would be... because I think Jericho and Owens is a match we all kind of saw coming since that summer, and for the US title, that's fine. I think,
and that's actually the first match you mentioned that I might actually care about.
Yeah, I honestly think that because this match doesn't make any sense on paper, because Goldberg's beaten Brock twice and he tossed him out of the Royal Rumble, so technically Brock has nothing to gain. I would have much rather see Goldberg versus Taker.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I haven't seen the Brock versus Goldberg thing, but my concern is I don't know if I want to see that.
No, it's great to
it's
see.
Probably,
it's 2 minutes.
If it's not like a squash match.
Oh, no, it's a squash match.
Even if it's a squash match. Squash match is also bad on a WrestleMania card. But isn't a squash match, I think... I don't... Have you seen how Goldberg looked in the Rumble?
Oh, yeah. He
gets
was
gassed.
Yeah, he's 50. I mean, there's only so much you can train away age. Honestly speaking, the way they booked this has to be a squash match. Because if it's a back-and-forth match, it does Brock no favors. The whole point is that Goldberg squashed him terribly at Survivor Series, and he needs to get his redemption. But you go to like Brock and Strowman, I think is something they tease for last WrestleMania. I mean, it's not a pretty match, but it's something.
Only if Brock can clop him again like the last time. God, was beautiful.
I mean, it's probably not what they want, and it's not for his ego. But honestly, I think Triple H and Samoa Joe versus Roman and Seth actually makes a decent match. Instead of, because I don't want to, like, I don't necessarily have interest in Seth versus Triple H as a singles match. And I feel like Joe's such a big play, it's weird for him not to be involved in that match in some fashion.
Yeah. Hopefully
Joe is great.
Joe doesn't injure a third person. That'd be great,
I assume the Cruiserweight will be a multi-man match. Probably Neville, TJP, Rich Swann, and
do you think that it will replace the Intercontinental one?
Well,
the Intercontinental spot fest with the mass multi match.
Well, no, I think the IC match will be a ladder match. So you'll have.
I'm just saying that because there's not that many. Because obviously the IC belt is on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So,
well, I see that being, that's going to be a ladder match. I can see that with, that's going to be, most likely it's going to be Dean, Miz, Ziggler, Baron, maybe Apollo Crews, Kalisto. You got six people there.
Mm.
That could work. Maybe they'll,
a 7-hour pay-per-view as well.
Maybe they'll call up Ty Dillinger, who can be the seventh person in that match. So yeah, I see that. What else do I see on Raw? Like I said, I would have preferred Sasha versus Bayley at WrestleMania. So now I see it being a four-way with Sasha, Bayley, Nia, and Charlotte. And Charlotte's going to lose, but she still keeps a pay-per-view streak because it's not a one-on-one match. And that will be the thing for the next Raw pay-per-view. Is like, can Charlotte retain her title? Whatever. And yeah, I mean, I think that's it. That's what, like a good 8 matches or so? I mean, 10 matches? Like, a bunch of them from each show, one from 205 Live. You know, they have a bunch of stuff on the pre-show. They have 7 hours to kill, so there's enough material there. But I mean, the card itself is looking like it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be Brock versus Goldberg. We've already seen the egg work for that being set up on Raw this week. Owens versus Jericho. I mean, they can change their mind, but it looks like it's Taker versus Roman. We don't. Triple H versus Seth is up in the air.
You know, fingers crossed, Joe might end up on SmackDown instead.
See, I think, I mean, it's weird because I like how Joe's brought in, but I do think he has a bit more leverage on SmackDown, especially if the rumors are true that they're going to turn Roman heel after WrestleMania. Because then your heels are Roman, Jericho, Owens, Braun. And then Joe? Where with SmackDown, it's AJ. Like, he would basically be AJ, then Joe, then Miz, then Dolph.
Yeah, just for this, like, the Jericho Owens, do you think they just turn Jericho face?
Yeah, I think Owens still works as a heel, And Jericho, I mean, Jericho has been the babyface in this feud when they've kind of teased it anyhow.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, I mean, they can turn Owens, but I don't see Owens as a face.
He's a cocky heel. Yeah. Like, and even then, he's heel in the sense of he doesn't want people to cheer him, even though they will.
I've seen Owens' face.
He
also works well as a face, but he's definitely a better heel.
Yeah, he's a much better. And Raw needs, like, you need top heels. And honestly speaking, I mean, I guess the real big thing will be who turns on who. Like, is it going to be like Owens uses and he turns on Jericho, or does Jericho finally kind of come out and say, you haven't been equals or anything like that? We'll see. But yeah, right now, I think there's only really two SmackDown matches in the talks, and because I think the original idea was The Miz and Maurice versus Dean and Renee, and they probably realized that Renee's not ready to wrestle yet.
Didn't stop Lana last year.
Huh?
Didn't stop Lana last year.
Oh, that's true. But that she got to hide with, like, eight other people.
I don't want to see Renee in the match. I'd rather see Renee on commentary, but, you know.
Yeah, so that... I mean, Maurice hasn't wrestled in years, but I'm sure she's training and stuff. But
she's still in shape. Ring shape, at least.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I don't... Like, I feel like it's such a waste for Miz, Cena, but... I mean, it's less of a waste for The Miz, more of a waste for Cena, but you look at SmackDown, and, like, what would Cena do on SmackDown? Which is why I thought the idea of Cena-Taker made sense. Because it's not the next level heel after AJ is Bray, and Cena's already feuded with him at Mania.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
I don't know. Cena's in a weird place. It always feels like at this point of the year, like, he's faced everybody, and then the only other person that it could be is Undertaker, and that's not happening, guys. Maybe it's time to just let that go.
But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, because they'll run into this problem next year and the year after. They've run into this problem for the past 7 years now, is that in between WrestleManias, they don't really build up anybody to that level, which is why they have to bring in part-timers. Like, I mean, you know, Goldberg versus Brock is a match of two part-timers. Triple H versus Seth is a match of part-timers. Taker versus Roman is a match of one part-timer. And it's like, okay, you know, you've had a whole year. Like, I mean, yes, they've had some setbacks. Finn Balor, though, to be fair, there's no saying that Finn would have been part of any WrestleMania plans. The same way that Seth Rollins was injured, and technically he wasn't part of WrestleMania. Well, he had the Triple H thing, but yeah, it's weird. So yeah, they had Seth, and Finn, and he got injured. But there's been nobody else. Like, Baron Corbin isn't in a level to fight Cena at WrestleMania. Like, Rusev and Roman's already had their feud. Like, Rusev versus Seth might work for WrestleMania, but again, it's not even, like, we know what Seth is doing if he's healthy. It's more like, if he isn't healthy, what does Triple H do? Oh, the other SmackDown match that was rumored is Shane versus AJ, which makes no sense.
Oh, God. You know what? No, what was the other one that I said as well? That because of the Seth one, they might do Triple H against Shane.
Which actually makes more sense.
A year ago it did.
Yeah. A year ago.
A year ago, the Shane comes back and says, "I want Raw." Triple H apparently doesn't care. That he has somebody who wants to take his control of the company. And he doesn't care. And now, instead, Shane fights the Undertaker for a lockbox and gets what he wants anyway and controls Raw for a bit.
Yeah, and then he gets SmackDown. So, yeah, it does. But it makes a bit more sense in that they can heat up something. Like, family drama, or, you know, I can't talk Stephanie.
McMahon family drama? They've never done that before.
I know. I'm not saying it's... But, I mean, it makes a lot more sense than AJ. I feel like AJ versus Shane is such a waste of time for AJ.
It's a waste of time for anyone involved. Especially the people watching.
Well, I was going to say, it's not a waste of time for Shane, because Shane gets to be on WrestleMania.
I guess... But so far, what you've broken down, I have to say, this whole prospect of this WrestleMania sounds fucking dire.
Oh, yeah, that's why I said I'm happy, because I was going to go this year, but I'm like, you know what, I went last year, and we held off. And I'm looking at the card, I'm like, so far I'm not missing anything. especially being that it's going to be one of those WrestleManias where everything just kind of feels predictable. If those matches go, because I don't see Shane beating AJ. I see Randy winning. You know, Brock has to get his win back. It doesn't make any sense otherwise.
I guess once we have a full card, I will look at that card and decide if I watch it. But so far, it sounds awful. And after this Rumble, I'm not particularly keen of watching any more WWE right now. So right now, I will probably watch the next NXT TakeOver and then call it a day.
Well, NXT is also in a weird position because...
But it's only 2 hours and I can manage it even if it's just an okay show.
Well, no, I meant more in a weird position because a lot of their top, like, you know, like, who does Rude Feud with into NXT? Like, they called up so many people that there's just a gulf of talent and...
There's no faces on NXT, that's the main problem.
Yeah, you could do Shinsuke again, I guess.
And they'll drag it out like the Finn Joe feud was drawn out.
Yeah.
Because it had nobody else, because they've not booked anybody and else. Like the women's division.
And so it's the same thing with Shinsuke and Joe. That feud was prolonged indefinitely.
Because NXT's women's division is comical. Because the only person that can be asked, they've booked Asuka's too good well to where no one else is a conceivable threat. So, the person who people have been thinking will be the one to beat her since she debuted is Ember Moon.
Which looks like that's where they're going for a takeover.
But don't expect her to get caught up afterwards.
No, which I understand why, but I mean, and it's different. Like the horsewomen, like, you know, they were all called up, and then you realize that there's a huge gap. But you also have to realize that those women were down there for like 2-3 years to get better, and I mean, honestly speaking, right now, I don't think either. Like, I mean, it's not like full of superstars, but I don't think either women's division is super, super weak. And, like, you know, like, technically, whenever Paige comes back and whenever Emma debuts, Raw has two more women. Eva Marie's still out for SmackDown.
Tamina's will be
back soon. When I look at what the women divisions are right now, I was actually kind of confused as to why they split the women up between two brands. I would have probably preferred it if they just put the women on one show. That way they could have kept some of the more green talent back in NXT.
Well, then if you put them all on one roster, which they've never done before anyway, it's like, well, I like SmackDown, but I would also like to see some women's wrestling as well, but I don't want to watch Raw.
Yeah, it's
not like the cruiserweights. You've limited the entire gender to one show for no conceivable reason, whereas a weight class isn't something else.
I think that was the issue, because I think people had mentioned that before. But yeah, it is weird to say women are an entire thing. We're treated as equals now, so it would be weird to say the women are just on Raw or women are just on SmackDown.
Yeah, but
I mean,
but
you can have one women's you can have one women's belt. I understand that, but you can't have it where all the women are on one show.
Okay, whatever, but the problem now is that you have a split roster and both of them are weak.
I don't think they're weak. I think it's just right now that they're... I mean, this is more Raw than SmackDown, is that I think that Raw just has a lot of women out at the same time, because Paige got injured... Well, she got hit up for the wellness program, and then she got injured within, like, you know, a month of the draft. Emma was injured, and she's doing the comeback. Tamina was injured... So you have three women right there waiting because, yeah, it does kind of get boring when it's just a... And Dana's somewhere around there. It's also just...
Yeah, but you just mentioned three women and two of them I don't care about.
Well, I mean, you can get to care about them. But even then, I mean, like, you have enough... I think
you will get me to care about Tamina, are you shitty?
I know, but I'm saying, okay, but I guess more...
And Paige kind of turned out to be shit as soon as he left NXT.
I don't think Paige is that bad.
Paige's character has suffered from when they put her on Total Divas, and then once they're no longer Divas, and they're now supposed to be the whole women's revolution or whatever, and they're supposed to be seen as equals, and they've now decided, okay, people have to look different. now is where she no longer stands out as much as she did 3 years ago.
Yeah. Also, whenever I saw a match of her... When I saw a match of hers, I don't think any of it stacked up to her best matches in NXT and made me wonder, maybe it was who she was actually working with back then.
I think, again, that also depends. I mean, I guess she was part of the overlap with the Women's Revolution. But out of that, again, was she was during, like, that peak era of, like, the Divas getting, like, 5-minute squash matches on Raw and stuff like that. And she feuded with AJ Prolong. But I do think, but like I said, I mean, I guess the big thing with Raw right now is less about who you care about and more about the fact that there's really four women and there's only so many combinations that you can have these four women fighting. Yeah. I mean, technically, Alicia Fox is on Raw too, but that doesn't count. And SmackDown has a similar thing, and the roster is thin, but I think SmackDown does a better job of hiding that, just because you've had... They know how to prolong. SmackDown to me has had a good way of prolonging most feuds without making them feel artificial, without having the people fight every week. So like you haven't like compared to like Charlotte and Sasha, you haven't seen Becky and Alexa Bliss as much, and they feuded for about the same amount of time, but they only fought like 3 times in that entire thing.
Because it is other types of segments.
Yeah,
and, whereas on Raw, it's like they're either having a match or they're not.
Yeah, or you got Nikki and Natalya. They've been feuding since Survivor Series, and they've not actually wrestled yet. So they've done a good job. With Raw, like, you had Sasha and Charlotte fighting like every week, and I think this kind of goes more, again, to Raw. It's like Raw doesn't necessarily know how to prolong anything without beyond, okay, the challenger just beat the champion, so they must be in line for a championship match. Over and over again. But yeah, I agree with you. But I also think I agree with you that I think both rosters together would have been stronger. But I also think if you had a combined roster, you'd end up with the same situation you have with the cruiserweights. In that one, everybody's not on the show every week. And two, like, the people who are kind of green would not have been given opportunities to kind of improve in some areas. Alexa may still be green, but she can talk much better now.
Yeah, I think as well it doesn't help with the whole cruiserweights. Like Seth Rollins, how heavy is Seth Rollins? He's basically a cruiserweight.
Well, yes.
There are guys that are already at least on the borderline compared to that are not in the cruiserweight division, like Sami Zayn or Seth Rollins. Whereas there's no wiggle room you with the women's division.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that I think Raw really needs to get rid of. Is that the cruiserweight should be blended into the show. Like, there's no reason that, like, somebody like Neville, who's already seen, we've already seen fight major superstars, can't fight them on Raw. Like, why can't he have a match versus Sami Zayn or something like that? That's not gonna hurt anybody. But this idea that the cruiserweights are just siloed to their own cruiserweight people in their own cruiserweight segments doesn't make any sense to me. Because again, Raw has a much deeper roster than SmackDown, but it feels like we've seen everything they had to offer. Like, I literally went to a house show after Christmas, and the main event was Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. And I got up and I asked, I'm like, I just saw this match on Raw. I'm going to see this match again at Royal Rumble. I saw this match at Roadblock. I saw this match enough times to not need to see it again. So, yeah, is there anything else you folks want to say before we wrap up?
I'm good, fam.
Okay. So, yes, we'll probably be back maybe before WrestleMania to actually see what the card shaped up to be, and then after WrestleMania to complain about the fact that this was a 10-hour show. So, for Kyle, Martin, and myself, this has been a very Royal Rumble this year.